Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. Epiphany. Epiphany, the word literally means manifestation or appearance. And it's known primarily for the manifestation of God in Christ to the nations, represented, of course, by those magi, those wise men, those kings traveling and offering gifts. But Epiphany also refers to the baptism of Christ, when there's that voice from heaven, "This is my son." And also to the first sign that Jesus performs, where water is turned into wine at the wedding of Cana, and this revealed or manifested his glory. Now, you've all known this for years, probably, but I would like to suggest to you that something has changed over those years. Yes, God has been revealed, has been made manifest, but maybe your understanding, maybe what's technically known as your image of God has changed, because we all change and we all develop. The nature of life is that understanding and meaning changes through it as our experiences change. We all have to wrestle with unknowing. We all have to question our inherited assumptions. We can't just accept what we've been told. We all have to mourn and leave behind previously held beliefs and sometimes previously influential people. That's part, if you like, of our faith journey, part of coming to maturity. Let me give an example to help explain this. Students often arrive at university, maybe at 18, maybe at 19 if they've had a gap year, and they are certain about what they know. Oh, the blessing of youth. The job of a lecturer, at least according to Heidegger, the job of a lecturer is to bring a student to a place of unknowing. You like unpack that certainty that the student arrives with. And in the same way, the role of the church is to offer space. Space in our liturgy, or space in our buildings, or space in our pastoral care. Space for doubts, complexity, and unknowing. Recognizing, if you like, that the Epiphany both reveals, you have that baby in Bethlehem, both reveals but also hides. How does that baby show forth the eternal deity of God? Maximus the Confessor sums up this simultaneous knowing and unknowing very well. I like Maximus, he's one of the Orthodox theologians. He says, "The perfect mind is one that through genuine faith knows in supreme ignorance the supremely unknowable." And all that we can do, he goes on, is to adore the Logos in silence. Knowing and ignorance, knowing the unknowable, that tension, if you like, within our life of faith. Anselm says that God is greater than what we can conceive. If you like, we know there is something greater than what we can think, but of course we can't think it, we can't name it. We have to, if you like, dename God. We have to realize that the holy is wholly other, completely different, beyond our language, beyond our thought. A church which has space only for certain answers, if you like, for simplicity, is a dangerous place, literally, I think, a dangerous place. If it was a psychoanalysis rather than a church, it would be a place of splitting, that is saying that some things are good and some things are bad. Good, bad. If you believe and act in a certain way, you are saved, you are good. It is, if you like, making an idol of ideology, an idol of the way we think and perceive. You can even see this in politics. You don't have to go to a church to see it. All those who voted Leave, you could say, are racist. I've heard that said. Of course, that's splitting again. And there's the assumption that only one party can care for the vulnerable in society. Splitting, good, bad, depending on a political position. But the church should not be a place of idols. It should not be a place where we pursue purity, if you like, where options and opinions are closed down. A church should be the place not of idols, but of icons. In an icon, your perspective is literally reversed. If you like, so instead of things closing down like railway tracks going to a point, if you look at an icon, the railway tracks will be opening up. Your perspective is reversed. Things are opening up in an icon, unlike an idol where things are being closed down. The church, if you like, should be a place of re-enchantment. Literalism, with its dualism of good and bad, is often deconstructed by our lives. We realise there are shades of grey. The trouble is, what do we reconstruct when our certainties break down? How do we engage with the beauty of that journey of the Magi, or that baptism of Christ, or that water into wine? How do we engage with the beauty of these stories if we struggle with a literal understanding? The Jewish philosopher Immanuel Levinas said, if you love someone, you don't notice the colour of their eyes. And that is because the face of the person you love becomes a window. You are looking, if you like, past that face, not looking at the face, you're looking past the face. So you don't notice the colour of their eyes. And it should be the same with faith. Faith should, if you like, be a window. It should be an icon opening up, not closing down. So we should engage with these stories of the Magi, of the baptism, of the water into wine. We should engage with these stories at a deep level, not on that surface colour of the eyes level. What does it mean that God is born in the dirt of a stable and yet kings kneel before this dirty baby? There is a dichotomy here, a healthy dichotomy. What does it mean that someone who is sinless submits to a liturgy or a service that washes sin away? What can that possibly be about? What does a sign revealing the nature of Christ mean when it is about a superabundance of wine? How does that joyousness engage with our understanding of God? We should be looking at the meaning within the meaning of all of these stories. Don't stop at the surface. Don't notice the colour of the eyes, but gaze through the eyes. These texts are windows and not closing down mechanisms. There is a Buddhist saying, and they say that if you meet Buddha on the road, you should kill him. You should kill the Buddha you meet on the road because you cannot meet Buddha on the road and therefore it's a false Buddha. The same is true of God. If you meet God on the road, you should kill him, following that logic. Because, of course, it's not God. You cannot meet God on the road. Donald Rumsfeld, I'm sure you remember him, he said this: there are no knowns. There are the things we know. There are also known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know. And it's always the unknown unknowns that get you. This, if you like, is the nature of Epiphany. Yes, something is revealed. The baby in a stable in Bethlehem. Revealed, though, what is revealed is something that we can only know in supreme ignorance. And we can only know that it's supremely unknowable.